blessing, folks. That's the purpose of convention. That's the purpose of convention, so that there's no reflection on how old Belinda is. I'm not sure how old she is. But 10 or 15 years after these young people graduate from high school, whatever talents they have, they use them to bless the people of God. That blessed my heart. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. We are blessed, folks. She is an accomplished musician. And to have that in our church, it's just a blessing. And young people, that's the end result of convention, that you just use your talent to glorify God. Amen? Outstanding. Thank you. Matt, did you teach her how to play the flute? I was thinking, yeah, I thought so, yeah. You don't even know how to play the radio, brother.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And while you are turning there, I'm going to let you know a little bit about what's happening next week with the teen auction. And some people are wondering, what in the world is that? Well, it's an opportunity, of course, for the teenagers to make money, but in a way where we're not just handing them money, but an opportunity for them to work for some money. And so we're going to have the different teenagers up here, and we're going to auction off hours of service that they can do, whatever you want them to do. If you want them to clean out gutters, they can do that. They're really good at that. They told me that. And if you want them to do anything else, wash windows, or if you want them to wash your dog, shut up, be quiet. Whatever you want them to do for a lot of amount of time, then you can bid on their services. We'll have different groups of teenagers up here that you can bid on. But then not only that, but there's also specific services that some of them are offering, like mowing the lawn for you. Maybe you're going to go out, you're going to be on vacation, and you need somebody to mow the lawn. Well, you can get that taken care of this next Sunday ahead of time. There's different things that some of the ladies are going to be baking, and if you decide that you want a good pie instead of something that you can go and get over at Kroger, you can get something homemade. Then you can get that next week here. So there's going to be lots of opportunities where the teenagers are trying to work and trying to earn some money. And so all we would ask you to do is just bring some cash. So let's all stand. We're going to look at verses 23 through 26. Verses 23 through 26. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, and then if you'll join me on the even-numbered verses of 1 Corinthians 11, looking at verses 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you so much for how you've blessed the people of our church with talents, Lord, and Lord, how they don't just use that for themselves, but, Lord, they use that for your honor. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you please help us to continually see that happening. And thank you for the young people that you've blessed. But, Lord, I thank you also, Lord, for the pastor that you've given us. And I pray, Lord, that you please speak through him tonight. Pray, Lord, that we would not get tired of hearing from you, and we would not get tired of searching for something from your word, but, Lord, that you please just speak to our hearts tonight through what you've given to our pastor. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
The church has been silent while the world raised its voice. In loud and angry tones they took the lead. But all across creation there's a rumbling in the hills as the chosen ones of God stand up to make his message known. I've got to shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops. Tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, I'm gonna make a joyful noise. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. The proclaim the Savior's might. But the Spirit of the Lord said they should wait. You see, God knew His children were ready to march on and proclaim His word throughout the land until the devil's face. But the world still tells us daily that God is not alive, and salvation's plan is just a fairy tale. But their lies don't change the truth that Jesus died for you. And the word says His returning could happen any day. I've got to shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, I'm gonna make a joyful noise. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
That's a blessing. Amen. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that. Super. Outstanding. Girls, thank you so very, very much. Now, look, we complain an awful lot, and rightly so. Complaining is not. What are we? We're critical of our country's current administration that just hands out bucket loads of money to everybody for absolutely nothing. And we ought to be critical of that. That's not God's way. And teenagers could just go around and ask for donations to help them go to camp, but these young people are willing to work for it and earn it. And folks, let's help them out, okay? Let's help them out and find something around the house to do, or buy a pie or something next week, and it'll be a big, big help to the young people. And not only to them, but to their families, who, you know, some cases more than one child going to camp or conference, it adds up, and we could be a blessing to them next Sunday night, and I hope that you'll come prepared to just participate and enjoy that time. Let's pray together and ask God's help now as we go to the Lord's table together. Father, this is such a blessing and an opportunity for us tonight to enjoy this time. I'm so thankful that in Your great wisdom and sovereignty, You saw the necessity of Your church having this ordinance and spending these moments around the table together. So bless it tonight as only You can. And encourage our hearts, and thank You so much for Jesus Christ, who is the main character about whom we'll speak tonight. We rejoice in what He did for us. Help me now to be a blessing in Jesus' name, and amen. This is one of these special Sunday evening services where we set aside time to observe the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper together as a church. Some churches tack on the Lord's Supper as a 10-minute addendum to the end of their service. It's like observing this ordinance is some kind of burden, and we have to do this, so let's get it done and get it out of the way and go back to our regular services. And then there are those who observe it every week, and if they're not careful, it becomes very ritualistic and has little or no meaning to them. Churches have the liberty, according to the Scripture, to do what they want as far as it goes, as observing this goes. But I like the route that we have chosen to have four, maybe sometimes five times a year, where we set aside this part of the service to come together and observe this very necessary ordinance known as the Lord's Supper. Now, I have taken different approaches in these messages over the years. Sometimes I preached on a whole message on one portion or one emphasis, an emphasis of one of the elements of the Lord's table service. But tonight, I just want to kind of give us a generic overview as a reminder of the features of the Lord's table, what it means to us as Christians, as Faith Baptist Church. So let me give you five things tonight. It won't be long on any of the five. First of all, we remember Christ's saving work on the cross. We remember Christ's saving work on the cross. Look at verse number 26, and look at the last part of the verse. Well, the whole verse really, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. So one of the purposes is we come tonight to remember the Lord Jesus' work on the cross. And the thing that I want to say tonight is this work was a saving work. His work on the cross of Calvary saves us. His sacrifice for sin worked our deliverance from sin. His payment for the penalty of sin worked our forgiveness of sin. His death worked for our life. He took our sin so we could take His righteousness. He crushed Satan on the cross, and He made it possible for us to never experience the punishment of hell. And when we gather together, we remember above all else that Jesus gave His body and Jesus shed His blood to save us. It was a saving work that we come to remember tonight. I love it when we sing the congregational song, "Saved, saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved, saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one." That's what this is all about. Above everything else tonight, we remember His saving work on the cross of Calvary. Number two, when we come to the Lord's table, we enjoy the communion that we have with each other through Christ. Look back at chapter 10. Flip back a page in your scripture there. Look back at chapter 10 and look at verse number 16 and 17. Paul is talking again about the Lord's table in these verses. Look at what he says in verse 16. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." It is at this table that we share and celebrate our common union with Christ. Now, if you've been here over the years, you've heard me emphasize the importance of this ordinance being called the Lord's table, because the table is the place where people share or celebrate a common union. A family gathers together at the table. You have the mom and the dad, the husband and the wife. They twain have become one flesh, and the byproduct of that union are the children that are gathered around the table with that mom and dad. And biologically, there is a common union, a communion, if you will, at that table when a family comes together. Now, people, we are part of the family of God. You are my brothers and sisters. I am your brother. And we have a table where we share our common union. And the table where we share our common union is this table right here. And the truth of the matter is, the bread and the juice are important because they symbolize that which makes us family. The bread symbolizes the body of Christ who bore our sins in His own body to the tree. The juice symbolizes the blood of Christ, which was shed for the remission of our sins. It is the body and blood of Christ that makes us family. Now, it's not the drinking of the juice or the eating of the bread. We don't subscribe to transubstantiation, the Catholic doctrine that says that the bread and the juice actually become the body of Jesus when we partake of it. No, we embraced the body and the blood by faith. We took by faith the work that Jesus did on the cross when He took our sins in His own body on the tree. We took by faith the shed blood that was made for the remission of our sins. And we embraced the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that work birthed us into the family of God and made us brothers and sisters in Christ. So this table is where we share our common union. And we share it through Jesus Christ. You know, it's tough to get a bunch of diverse people together to enjoy communion with each other on any particular topic or subject. It really is. We can't all have communion about vehicles, because some of you think Fords are good cars. We can't have common communion over sports teams. Some people like football, and some people like baseball, and some people like basketball, and some people don't care for sports at all. There's no common communion over sports teams. We can't all have communion over politics. You know, there's probably different people with different political viewpoints in the room tonight. We can't all have communion over meat. Some people like shrimp. Some people don't like seafood. Some people like pork. Some people don't like pork. Some people enjoy chicken. Other people like beef. We can't all have communion over meat. We can't all have communion over favorite colors. Some like red. Some like blue. Some like orange. We can't have... How long can the list be, folks? The list could go on and on and on. We can't all have communion over a bunch of things. But people, when we come to this table, we have communion with each other because we all have communion with Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in the same family. I like it when we sing the song. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family. And this table represents what gives us our common union in Jesus Christ as brothers and sisters in the family of God. So when we come to the table of the Lord, we enjoy the communion, the common union that is possible for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else to think about. When we come to the Lord's table, number three, we demonstrate our singular faith in Christ. Our singular faith in Christ. Look at verse 20 of chapter 10. You're in chapter 10 there. Look what Paul says. He says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Now what's he talking about? In the church at Corinth, you had a bunch of Gentile converts that came out of the pagan worship of false idols. When they got saved, they turned from the worship of and trust in those false idols to the one and true living God. And when they came to the table, the Lord's table, they were demonstrating their singular faith in Jesus Christ. They had turned from the false pagan idols and religions to the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So coming to the table demonstrated we've turned our back on those false idols and those false gods and those false religions, and we have embraced the one true and living God, God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, when you and I come to this table, we come demonstrating the fact that we believe that salvation is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. We don't come to this table embracing Christ in one hand and prayer to Mary in the other hand. We don't come to this table embracing Christ in one hand and our good works in the other hand. We don't come to this table embracing Christ in one hand and holding on to the end, doing the best we can in the other hand. There is no place at the Lord's table for divided loyalty. No place for dual loyalty. This is a place where we demonstrate our singular faith in Jesus Christ. It's done. The work of Christ was complete. He said from the cross, "It is finished," meaning that nothing needed to be added to His work on the cross of Calvary. You've heard the story about D.L. Moody talking with the man who believed that you had to work your way to heaven and work your way to salvation. And D.L. Moody said, "You know, the difference in what I believe and what you believe can be summed up in two letters of the alphabet. You spell your faith D-O. You've got to do this and you've got to do that. You've got to do this and you've got to do that. I spell my faith D-O-N-E. It is done in the cross of Calvary." I love it when we sing the song, "Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one." And when we come to this table as a church, we demonstrate our singular faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say it with words. It's another thing for you and I to do tonight as we come to this ordinance, this time of observing the Lord's table. It demonstrates our singular faith in Jesus Christ. And let me say this tonight, number four. When we come to the Lord's table, we examine ourselves in order to purify our hearts. We examine ourselves. Back to chapter 11 and look with me at verse number 28. Chapter 11 and verse number 28. When we come to this table, we examine ourselves in order to purify our hearts. Verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, I'll tell you something, folks. When you come to the Lord's table, you know, there's a lot of talk about judging. There's a lot of discussion and debate about judging each other. Jesus Christ said, "Judge not that you be not judged." But then another scripture, He said, "Judge righteous judgment." And people fuss and debate, what did Jesus mean? I'm not here to discuss that tonight. Here's what I want to say. The most important kind of judgment is self-judgment. Self-judgment. That's what the Lord's table allows us to do. Self-judgment. You know, I believe with all of my heart that one of the ways to eat and drink unworthily is to eat and drink of the Lord's table as a lost person. Lost people are not worthy to eat and drink of this table. Because it symbolizes, as I said earlier, singular faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also beyond being lost, you know, if our hearts are regarding iniquity, if we are regarding sin in our hearts, it's not that we have to live sinless, folks. Who can do that? Who can claim that? Who can claim a sinless week? Who can claim a sinless day? But there is a difference in our humanity manifesting itself throughout the day, and you and I regarding iniquity in our hearts, holding it in high esteem, refusing to deal with it. And self-judgment is the most important kind of judgment, allowing the Spirit of God to purge our hearts from sin so that God won't have to judge us. That's the reason God deals with us. God deals with us when we are unrepentant about our sin. We come under the chastening hand of the Lord. And one of the aspects of the Lord's table, you know, some people are uncomfortable at the Lord's table. And that's okay. Because this is a holy ordinance. This is all about the Lord's judgment of our sin on the person of Jesus Christ. So this whole ordinance is about the judgment of sin. And it is natural to think about sin. And it's natural to think about our sin when we come to this table. It should be a place of humility and repentance from sin in our hearts. We ought not want to eat and drink of the Lord's table unworthily, regarding iniquity in our hearts. So it's a time of self-judgment. It's a time for you and me to bow our heads and bow our hearts and ask the Spirit of God, that, like the song we sing once in a while, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free." And that's the opportunity that we have as we come to the Lord's table tonight. A time of self-examination and self-judging and asking the Spirit of God to cleanse our hearts from sin and iniquity and forgive us and make us worthy to eat and drink of the bread and the juice that is the Lord's table. So we examine ourselves in order to purify our hearts. And then let me say this tonight. When we come to the Lord's table, we anticipate the day when we will observe this with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the end of verse number 26, I read it before, the end of verse 26 says that we do show the Lord's death till He come. Now listen, according to Matthew's gospel, Jesus told His disciples that He would eat and drink with them in the kingdom. Specifically, I believe, the Lord's Supper. Because He said it at the Lord's Supper. He said it after He passed the bread and passed the juice. And He said, "I will not do this again with you until I come." And I can't remember the exact wording there, in the kingdom. Now, church, I wish I could explain it all tonight. I wish I fully comprehended. I don't know how it's all going to play out. But somehow I believe in my heart that in eternity future, you and I will share this ordinance with Jesus Christ Himself someday. And He'll be, at, if you will, at the head of the table. And the one who died for us, still bearing in His glorified body the prints of the nails. Still bearing that. Maybe still bearing in His brow the scars or the wounds from the thorns. And He will serve us. I don't know how it's all going to play out. I don't know how it all will happen. But I know that Jesus told His disciples that He would eat it with them again someday in the kingdom. And it's not one of those things that I've given tons of time to research and study out, because I'm not sure that we're supposed to fully understand what it's all going to be like. The more I try to understand heaven from the Scripture, the more I realize I know very little about heaven and what it's all going to be like. But I know this. I really believe with all of my heart that somehow, some way, you and I will gather with a group, the group of saved people in glory, and we will observe this ordinance, because that's the whole reason we're there. The whole reason we're able to be in that place is because of His shed blood and the fact that He took our sins in His body upon the tree. I don't think we'll ever be allowed to forget that. And we won't. We'll still have the pictures, but more than that, we'll have the person, and we'll be in His presence. And I like the song that we sing, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." It will be worth it all. So when we gather around this table tonight as a church, and we pass the juice, and we pass the bread and pass the juice, just remember, friend, these simple things. When we come to this table, we remember Christ's saving work on the cross. We enjoy the communion that we have with each other through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the truth of the matter is, friend, a lot of us are close friends in this room, and I'm not sure we would be apart from Jesus Christ. That's right. Because we're pretty diverse people. And that's all right. We don't have to be clones. But there's a common union here. It's represented on this table, right, by what's on this table. When we come to this table, we demonstrate our singular faith in Christ. We come tonight... "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Singular faith in Christ. We examine ourselves, our own hearts, in order to purify our hearts and be worthy to eat and to drink. And then we anticipate the day when we will observe this with Jesus Christ Himself. What a God who in great sovereignty and wisdom and foreknowledge saw the importance of this ordinance and told the local church, "You observe this as often as you want to. And every time you do it, you come together for these five reasons." And maybe some more. But that's enough for tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Father, I thank You so much for the wonderful ordinance of the Lord's table. And God, I thank You for the saving work that Jesus did on the cross. And I thank You for the common union, the communion that we have with each other through the Lord Jesus and what He did on the cross. And I thank You, God, that we can demonstrate our singular faith in Jesus tonight by taking the juice and the bread. And Lord, would You please deal with our hearts in these quiet moments before we observe this ordinance? Would You please, God, show us, put Your finger on things that we really ought to ask forgiveness for and be cleansed from? And then, Lord Jesus, we sure do anticipate the day when we will observe this with You. Maybe we don't know how it's all going to happen, how it's all going to come down to us. We sure look forward to the day when the bread and the juice will be passed in heaven, representing what the Lord Jesus did so that we could be saved. Make this ordinance, help it to fulfill its purpose tonight in our hearts. Draw us closer to You because of it, and we'll thank You. Lord, can we say that we love You? We don't love You like we ought to, but there's a measure of love in our hearts for You. And we understand and know that the only reason we love You at all is because You first loved us. And this is demonstration of it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Lord Jesus, thank You. May You be exalted and lifted up tonight is my prayer. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing song of invitation.